point. Thoughtful. Thank you. Take your Bibles, if you will. Please go with me to Deuteronomy chapter number 6. We'll pick up from where we were last night. Now, some of you have written down that there are 6 things and know that we've only covered 3 of them. So what does that mean for tomorrow night? Buckle up, kids. We're going to go as far as we can, okay? Deuteronomy chapter number 6. If I were looking at Deuteronomy chapter 6 and I wanted to know God's blueprint for the home, what would be the very first thing that I would know from Deuteronomy 6 that God wants in my in our home? Regard Scripture. What does that mean? To elevate Scripture, to elevate His Word, to regard His Word in with respect and revering it. That God's Word is the final authority for your home. Not how you feel, not what your parents taught, but rather what the Word of God says. Tradition is fine. However, the Word of God trumps tradition. Okay? What would be the second thing, sir, that I would be looking for in Deuteronomy 6? I want to build a home like God says. What's the second thing? Fear God. That is to give Him full reverence for who He is, to respect Him, to have a deep regard for Him. Where there is a regard for Scripture, there will be the fear of the Lord. Where there is no regard for Scripture, you will have a people that do not fear God. If God is not feared in your home, it will directly result from your regard for Scripture. That is to say, what place does the Word of God have in your home? It ought not to be just to say, well, we carry it. You could hire people to carry the Bible. That the Word of God is that which is your rule of faith and practice in the home. Number one, regard Scripture. Number two, fear God. What would be the third thing, Rylan, that I'd be looking for in the Word of God? How do I build a home? Love God. Guess what I'm preaching on tonight? Point three, love God. What's the fourth thing, sir? Practice righteousness. That means to do right. Number 4, 5, remember God. Maybe we'll get to that, maybe we won't. Maybe we'll do all 3 points tomorrow. Number 6, train disciples. I'll hint at that a little bit tonight in the message. Now, what's fascinating to me is our young people have written that down. You say, well, what if they lose the book between now and marriage? Someone can remind them that it's Deuteronomy 6 and tell them that this is how you do it. And then they can go home and say, does our home measure up to the Word of God? Are we doing these things? Well, tonight I want you to go to Deuteronomy chapter number 6, and I want you to look with me in verse number 5. Verse number 4 is the beginning of what the Jewish people call the Shema, because it references the first word in verse number 4. And they would say this twice a day in their home. Shema, Israel, Adonai, Adahenu, Adonai, Acha. That's what they would say, and they would continue on actually to verse number 9. I'm not going to give you that. I'm just going to go with the one that I know. My dad taught us that as a kid. I was probably 7 years old, and he had us quoting the Shema in the house. Why? Because he believed the Word of God would make a difference in our lives. And the Jewish people, saved or not, this is what they would quote twice a day. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And notice one Lord. And verse number 5, and thou shalt, so that's a command, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. You say, well, didn't Jesus say something about that too? Yes, he's pulling from this text. And it's repeated several times. Joshua would even say, don't forget what Moses taught you, that you are to fear God with all and love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So now you have to look at the home and not just say, do we regard Scripture and do we have a fear of God? But you should look in your homes and say, do we have a culture of love in our home? I don't know if I'm going to like this one. Well, they're all important to God. So when you're building your home and you're starting out right, you're getting grandchildren, and you're thinking about how that child is going to be raised, one of the things you have to stress in raising children is we have a love for God in this home. And our love for God drives everything that we do. It affects every aspect of our lives. So when he talked about the Shema, the verse number 4, that the unity that is in God, we have one God, we listen to this God, he is our Lord, he is our God, and we have just one God. We call those people monotheistic people. What does that mean? We have one God. We don't have a plurality of gods. I mentioned to you the Hindus have these fierce-looking gods. You walk by their temples in India and you see them and you're thinking, oh, and they bow to them and they yield to them and they offer up sacrifices to them. You say, well, why would they do that? They have a pluralistic view of God, meaning many gods. What do we have? One God. We're not serving multiple gods. We have one. You say, well, what about the Trinity? He's three in one. So when we get to look at this, I want you to realize that to think about, has your home become a place of rules without reason? The last two generations have been asking the same question. Why do we have these rules? What is the reason behind them? Now, my parents' response to that question would have been, now keep in mind, I'm 59, so my parents, my mom I think is watching as well tonight, my parents would say, because I told you, that's why. But then generations have followed and said, that's not enough. We want reasons. In a home that is guided by God's love, the culture of love in our home, we don't just have rules without reason. We don't have reactions and not actions. What we do is, instead of reacting to things, we intentionally take action. I wonder if our homes have become places of aspiration, like, oh, that's ideal, but rather to have a home of intention where we say we will set out to have love in this home. Because if your children are coming up, they're learning everything about your love for God and your motive behind everything you do. Everything in our home ought to be, we do this because we love God. I think our homes have become more places of discipline than discipleship. We're not raising kids to be deacons and teachers and helpers in junior church. We're not raising our kids to be soul winners. We're not raising our kids to be outreach in our community. Rather, we are just going through the motions and we're saying, well, as long as they behave right. It's not as long as if they behave right. Did you teach them right? Did you show them that the reason we do what's right is because we have a love for God? He said, it's a command, verse number 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Look closely at what God is designing in this home that he has. When God designs the embassy of heaven in our homes, we regard Scripture, we fear God, and there is a clear culture of love. How do we get there? Well, it's obedience. To obey that command. If I were to walk through your children here and ask questions of what does love look like in your home, what would their answers be? Please don't ask my kid. I get it. But they're learning what kind of love. I'm not talking about romantic love. I'm saying, what are they learning about your love for God? He said it is a command. Thou shalt love God. The Lord thy God. That's a direct, specific, clear command. So how do we do that? Number one, you got to obey it. You love his person. You love his power. You love his word. You love his promises. You give him your undivided attention and your undivided devotion and your undivided determination to say, I love God. It's not the preface to a testimony. It is the reality of your life. Are we loving God in obedience to him? Second thing you have to do, number one, you obey his command to love. Number two, you create a culture of love. So, well, how do you create a culture? By explaining the philosophy behind what you're doing, by explaining the obedience to this command, that if you regard scripture in your home, when you tell your kids, we love God here, and because we love God, we go to service. Because we love God, we walk in the parade and pass out tracts. Because we love God, we are part of this community and we're making sure the gospel gets out. Why? Not because I said so, but because we have a love for God. Is that happening in your home? Where there's a clear love for God, and because of your love for God, you do the things of service as we spoke of last night in the second point of the message where I spoke of that. So you create a love for God by your passion for life shows that you love God. Notice what he said, all thy heart, all thy soul. So that's not just your passion for life, but that's your actual personality in life that says, I show my love for God, my soul. And notice further, he says, and all your might. That is everything that you're doing to pursue who God is. That the love that you have for God shines through. So if I ask the moms and dads here tonight, when last did your children clearly see your love for God? It is a command. It is part of the culture of our home. We obey by loving him, yes. But now what are you doing inside your home to say, okay, in this home, we love God. And because we love God, we love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might. That is to say that I give him everything I have. Is that happening by model in the home? You say, well, Brother O'Malley, to be honest, it's really not. Well, this is why I'm saying to you tonight, when we look at verse number 5, the way that we create a culture of love in our home is by practicing our commitment to God. That's the third element that I want you to see. Everything I do must show my love for God. Everywhere I go because I love God. Every word that I speak is because it shows my love for God. Every action that I take shows my love for God. Which one of you guys said you worked at the ice cream shop today? Was that Ryland? Did you? No, is that tomorrow or today? Today and tomorrow. How many customers do you think you served today? A couple dozen customers. You scooped out their ice cream or do you pull it from a machine? Both. Are you good at it? I think so. You think so? Well, let's test this out. Could you say that every customer you had today thought about the way you love God by how you spoke to them, how you treated them, what you thought about them, and what you spoke about them? You don't have to answer. But it's something that we ought to be consciously aware. We have to deal with people all the time, whether we're serving at an ice cream stand or doing something else. We have to constantly interact with the heathen culture. And when we interact with the heathen culture, because that's what God was prepping them for. He's saying, you're going into the land and I need you to have a home that where God's love is supreme. And so in every action and every reaction and every word I speak, they ought to be able to see there's something different about this person. Is that true of you? You say, well, Brother O'Malley, do you really believe we have to do these verses? I do. Why? Because God put him there. He was going to send his people into a heathen culture, and he said, have these six things in your home. We live in a heathen culture. These are the six things we need in our home. Kim and I were talking yesterday about these thoughts that I'm preaching. And she was saying, John, why is it that we don't hear this as much today? And it's true. Our homes have drifted away from these six principles. Instead of what we should be doing, we're drifting and trending toward the world. And so the idea of saying, well, boy, this sounds so hard or this sounds so difficult, but God said you should have a home where your love for me is so strong that it shows up in every aspect of your life. So let's put some practical things to this. In a home where we love God with everything we have, something changes, and that is our relationships change. Think about some of these questions. Do the words you use to your spouse show your love for God? Anybody want to answer that one, or we just keep going? The words you use to your spouse, do they show your love for God? Do your actions, because we're talking about this idea, relationships change when it's motivated by my love for God. So the second question is, do your actions towards your spouse show your love for God? Ouch. What I say and what I do has to show my love for God. Did the tone I use, now as a guy, we think nothing of tone, right? Just words. But there's something different to Kim when my tone isn't reflecting the love of God. But our tones have to. Because we're setting up the model of what is a biblical home. In our home, we regard Scripture, we fear God. We have a culture of love in our home that we love God. And when Dad loves God, he speaks to Mom differently. When Mom loves God, she speaks to Dad differently or her husband differently. Number four, did your words and actions and tones with your children show your love for God? He said, I don't know about that one, Brother O'Malley. I mean, these kids, look at them. They got, what are we going to do with them? But your tone and your words and your actions have to demonstrate the love of God. What is your name here on the end, sir? Joshua. Got another Joshua in the back, don't we? Yes. Joshua. Are your mom and dad here? Okay. Please identify. One, two, there they go. They actually raise their hands. Sometimes if I ask for that, parents just like put their head down and hide. How old are you? Yes. Nothing like and which make me yearn for slow death, but here we go. How much again? 16. For 16, have you lived in the home for 16 years? Okay. For 16 years, have your parents known Christ that whole time? Okay. So every time they speak to you, it makes you think about the love of God. Every tone they use makes you think about the love of God. Every action towards you makes you think about the love of God. Please don't answer. You've got to ride home with these people. You say, Brother O'Malley, that's incredible pressure. Yeah. Imagine how God feels when he sees what goes on in your home. The way that you treat the children he gave you. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. This is where we started Saturday night. So that means, what's your name? Caleb. Are you related to Joshua? Do you want that mountain? Never mind, it's Bible humor. It probably will be lost. Caleb, how old are you? 11 or 11? 11. Okay, here we go. As an 11-year-old, that means for all of your years on planet Earth, you grew up in a home and you were able to see, did my mom and dad show me God's love by the way they spoke to me, by the way they treated me, and they showed their love by the words that they use, the tone that they use. Everything about my parents has to be, I saw the love of God. Caleb, it would be wise not to answer this. But this is what all of us have to think about. Rylan, same. All of us have to think, do our children see our love for God by the way we speak to them? You say, Brother O'Malley, I can't get them to clean their room. If we teach them that they clean their room because they love God. For some of you, this is like, but the only reason that we can ask our children to do anything is to say, because you love God, this is why. When you learn to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you look at your parents as God's representatives in your home to guide you, to get you to be a functioning human being that uses the word or quite seldom. And you just begin. Oh, you thought that was funny. I'm coming to you next. But you just say, God gave me these kids. They're going to produce our home, what they saw in our home with our grandchildren. Some of you are old enough to understand that. Others of you are just trying to get through the day with only a small mountain of laundry. I understand. But our love for God means we teach our kids, do you have a bed? Do you make it? Do you have a room? Do you clean it? Yeah. Your voice started to weaken so much, I knew that you were challenged by the truth, and here you are in church. We clean our room because we love God. We follow our parents' instructions. That because we love God, we do everything we do because we have a love for God. When we teach our children this, they will grow up in a heathen culture with a completely different motivation. They'll say, I'm doing this because I love God. Where'd you learn that? My mom and dad. You guys are having a baby in January. Skylar is her name. What you're hearing tonight has to be the guidance for how you guys do this. God said, in that home, there ought to be a regard for Scripture. In your home, there ought to be a fear of God. In your home, Skylar will watch you guys and say, wow, my dad is so nice to my mom because he loves God. My mom is so nice to my dad because she loves God. I want to be like my mom and dad because they love God. And then they grow up and produce your grandchildren, and they replicate what they saw at home. And this is the command of God. It's not just about the generation that you live. It's the children you produce and their children. So how do you future-proof a godly home and a godless culture? Number one, you have to teach your kids to have a love for God. Our love for God changes our relationships. Can your kids say, my mom and dad don't yell at each other because they love God? Kim and I have friends who, when their girls were younger, told us, told Kim, said, "We do not yell in our home." For some of you, this is such a foreign concept, but just pretend with me that that could actually happen, where dad doesn't yell at the kids, mom doesn't yell at the kids. Well, Kim asked her and said, "Well, what are you thinking about here?" They said, "When we raise our girls, we want our girls to learn to respond to God's still small voice and not have to have God raise his voice to get their attention." What a thought. What if our kids grew up in homes where the moms and dads didn't yell at each other and didn't yell at the kids because of their love for God? When you obey the command to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, your relationships will change. Young people don't speak hatefully to their parents because they love God. Have you ever had an attitude problem, sir? Are your parents in the room tonight? One of them. Dad, raise your hand. Mom, raise your hand. This is yours. Yes. Of course he's yours. When we consider having the command of God to love, and we look at this and we say, you know what? Our son doesn't speak hatefully to us or with a rebellious spirit or tone because he loves God. He said, "Brother O'Malley, this seems so aspirational, like this can't really happen." This was happening in the world when the world was at its simplest. Without all the other distractions that we have in society, this was happening. This is what God expected. This isn't just some idea, "Well, the preacher said we got to love each other, so you might as well sit here. I love you, okay? I love you, fine." That ought not to be our disposition, but rather, it's not that I love you. It's rather that I love God so much. It's going to show up in the way I speak to my wife, the way I treat my wife, the way I am with others. And it's got to be in your home too. Second thing that changes when we talk about having a home of love, in a home where we love God with everything we have, number two, our responsibilities change. Not just our relationships, but our responsibilities change. Namely, kids do their chores because they love God. Kids listen the first time because they love God. Kids are kind to their siblings because they love God. The responsibility changes when you have a love for God. You say, "Well, I'm just making them love each other." What if you changed the dynamic and made it this? We love God, therefore we love our sister. Therefore, we love our brother. Therefore, we love our enemies. Therefore, we love our friends. Therefore, we do what is right because we have a love for God. Not just do our relationships change, but also our responsibilities change. Teens do not rebel when they have developed a love for God. Teens follow every task, every responsibility, every guideline because they love God. I remember when my son was trying to figure out Bible college, I was talking to him about the rules at the Bible college. No matter what school to which you'll go, there will be rules. And I said to him, "John, whatever those rules are, if this college is God's will for your life, then every rule they have is also God's will for your life." Why do we follow the rules? Because we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. You say, "Well, I don't like the rules." You don't have to like them. You just got to do them. Why? Because we have a love for God. So our responsibilities change when we have a love for God. You belong to a Christian home, I would assume, because you're here. You speak kind words to each other because you have a love for God. Guys can be merciless with each other. Critical, mean, hard. Right, guys? Oh, don't look down the row. Just own it yourself. Yeah. People who love God don't do that. Do you see how paramount this command is? You're going to go into a heathen land. You're going to live amongst the heathen. And he said, don't forget to love me. Love me with all your heart. Love me with all your soul. Love me with all your might. In a home where we have love for God, number one, our relationships change. Number two, our responsibilities change. Number three, in a home where we love God, everything we have, with everything we have, our reactions change. If your first response is to be cruel and coarse and carnal, stop it. A love for God changes those things. If your first response is to be mean or selfish and hurtful, stop. When we love God, we stop those things. If your first response is to lash out at somebody instead of listening, stop it. A love for God changes our reactions. Sometimes you will find people who have been hurt by others in turn want to hurt someone else. Stop it. A love for God changes our reactions. We respond differently. Joshua, has anyone ever spoken mean to you? Yes. Is your first reaction to speak meaner back to them? Sometimes. What would change that reaction? A love for God. That's gold. Oh, these young people, they're not listening. They're in church on the front row taking notes. Give them a break. As if you made it through your teen years without a mistake. And someone didn't have to apply grace to your life. They're here. Teach them to love God. Teach them by example. Teach them by instruction. Teach them by reinforcement. I think that's somewhere near your confrontation word the other night. This, if you called your dad by your first name, there would be a confrontation. I got to find out what that means. Where's Jason tonight? He's at the airport. Where's mom? Oh. So it's just you. Good. Mom's watching, I'll guarantee you. Mommy's doing all right. Here's the thing. You cannot have adverse and negative reactions when you love God. See, Brother O'Malley, our young people need to hear it. So do their mom and dad. They're watching you. Number five. In a home where we love God with everything we have, our testimony changes. At work, people notice that our communication reflects our love for God. Isn't it hard when customer service seems to be at an all-time low? Abysmal. I mean, you just have to brace yourself to call to some customer service number to get some sort of help. The other day, it was 3:00 in the morning, and I had to be on the phone with American Airlines dealing with a situation. Sorry, Wally, representing the team. Okay, all right. So I'm on the phone. It's 3 in the morning Eastern time, and I'm going through this stuff, and we're talking, and I'm trying to get a change to a flight, is what I'm trying to do. The lady said, after the whole experience, and it was adverse at some points and effective at other points, and she said, are you a minister? It's like, I hope I haven't said something wrong. You know, I'm thinking in my head, I'm on the phone, she can't see me. I'm in my pajamas on the phone at midnight West Coast time, and I'm talking to her, and I'm trying. She said, are you a minister? I said, yes. She said, I knew it. She said, it's like you knew God and you spoke kindly. I thought, once I got it right. That ought to be our regular thing. It ought to be the thing where people say, you know what? I talked to Joshua and it was like you knew he loved God. Is that your testimony? Is this what is happening at your house? Because your testimony changes. I don't think I told Kim about that, but anyhow, that's what happened the other night. At school, people are going to notice your communication reflects on the fact that you love God. At ball fields, have you ever seen these parent videos where the parent goes to the ball game and then becomes the one that is like umpire, judge, referee, and rowdy parent all in one? When a Christian parent goes to the ball field, do they see your love for God? In your neighborhood, do they see your love for God? I remember when I was pastoring Alabama, I was knocking on doors after I first got there and introducing myself, looking for people who didn't go to church and whatever. I got to this door. I have no idea where my own church members live. I'm just out there knocking doors. And I get there and the lady said, "Does so-and-so still go to your church?" I thought, "Yeah, I've heard her name." "Yes, she goes. As long as she goes to your church, I'll never come." But there's just enough mischief in my heart, if you haven't figured out right now. I thought, I'm in for the whole thing. What does she do? She says, "She lives behind me. There is no way she could be a Christian the way she acts as a neighbor." How about in your neighborhood? Do people see your love for God? This message is a direct appeal for your sensibilities for expressing your love for God in every aspect. Your testimony changes, your reactions change, your relationships change, your responsibilities change, just because He commands us to love Him. This is a heathen world. There are mean and people who are rude and unkind. But that's them. That's not you. What's happening inside your home? Are your kids getting it? Are they seeing that mom and dad come to church because they love God? I'm going to church because I love God. Mom and dad worship God because they love God. I'm going to worship God because I love God. Mom and dad sing out in church and because they love God. I'm going to sing out in church because I love God. It's every single aspect. I go to Sunday school. Why? Because I love God. Sing in the choir, march in the parade, whatever it is, because I have a love for God. It's not, listen to these words, guys, lip service. Do you know what that means, Joshua? Lip service? Yeah, it's just words, you're wording. You're just saying stuff. You're just saying probably words that make sense, except for or. But you're just saying those words. There's no conviction there. Here's my closing question. We'll be done. Would God say you are obeying verse 5? What does verse 5 say? "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." We have sin natures. I don't want lip service to God. It's got to be a genuine love. So when God, He does the report card on the home. At the O'Malley house, I do not believe they love me with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength because their relationships or their responsibilities or their reactions or their testimony. What about your house? What does God say? Oh, the preacher said that, well, we had a great home and a great family. We're great people. Well, you can fool the preacher, but you cannot fool God. Would you stand with me? Our sister, if you'll come begin to play a hymn of invitation in just a moment. Dear Father, this evening, as we looked at the third principle that you're giving our homes. You're telling us that we're to love you with everything we have. Father, may our responsibilities change because we love you. May our reactions change because we love you. May our relationships change because we love you. May our testimony change because we love you. Oh God, may our love for you increase so much that people will look and say, that person really must love God by the way they treated me, by the way they spoke. Oh God, increase our love for you, and may this heathen, godless culture see something different in our home and in our family, in our embassy of heaven. May they see it and know that we have a love for you. As the music begins to play, why don't you find a spot to pray? Oh God.